Penguin Random House Audio presents The New Chardonnay, the unlikely story of how marijuana went mainstream. This is the author, Heather Cabot. For Nearage. Introduction. It was a day that called for big, bold designer shades. The California sun warmed a throng of fresh-faced millennials in expensive athleisure ensembles as they waited in line to devour the latest advice on living their best lives, all carefully curated by their slender blonde guru, the embodiment of all human aspirations, Gwyneth Paltrow. As the summer kicked off in June 2018, more than 600 attendees had shelled out a minimum of $650 per ticket for the privilege of basking in the star's glistening essence at this wellness retreat in a sleek Los Angeles venue. In its third installment, the sprawling event featured a carnival of keynotes and classes aimed at devotees of the Oscar winner's digital media and e-commerce empire, the mecca of quirky health and wellness advice, Goop. In the spotlight this year, along with B12 shots, mushroom coffee, and tantric sex tips, was the most popular federally illegal substance in America, marijuana. It was at the InGoop Health Summit where GP, who's been known to smoke a little weed from time to time, announced to her fans that she was dipping a baby toe into the biz. Goop would curate a sampling of cannabis teas, bath bombs, vaporizers, and chocolates to be sold in a pot store like no other. The upscale retailer called MedMen, located on the trendy Abbot Kinney Boulevard in California's Venice Beach. MedMen's glossy candy apple red-themed chain of marijuana dispensaries in L.A., New York City, and Vegas were touted by the company as the Apple Stores of Pot, for the contemporary design of their retail spaces with sleek wood and glass display cases, plus a fleet of knowledgeable bud tenders or sales associates at the ready to advise curious customers. And because no exclusive event is complete without swag, GP highlighted the news by handing out red and white MedMen goodie bags to the attendees of the Future of Cannabis panel, hosted by her friend, the actress and former Boston Legal star, Lake Bell. Belle was well-versed in weed. Her tattoo artist husband, Scott Campbell, had founded the luxury marijuana accessory company Bebo, which explained why, along with her tasteful rose-colored pantsuit and nude heels, the actress modeled a shiny gold Bebo vaporizer encased in a $50,000 Daniela Villegas jewel-encrusted pendant adorned with opals and pearls, as she led a discussion with several marijuana entrepreneurs and scientists on the ins and outs of cannabis. The goal was to educate this eager crowd on the array of trendy marijuana remedies touted to ease anxiety, relieve pain, and even boost libido, and to provide a primer on the difference between THC, the cannabinoid that gets you high, and CBD, the one that doesn't, but can be used to potentially reduce inflammation, muscle tightness, and nausea, among other ailments. The room buzzed with questions during the hour-long event. The audience learned about the effects of the most well-known subspecies of the plant, Indica and Sativa, from UCLA cannabis researcher Dr. Jeffrey Chen. A marketing exec from the California cannabis wellness company Papa and Barkley revealed new innovations, like a cannabis lube, a product growing in popularity, especially among senior citizens, and CBD-infused tampons to soothe menstrual cramps. Really? With the demeanor of a big sister schooling her wide-eyed younger siblings on the ways of the world, Belle concluded with a coy admission to the audience. She'd been high as a kite the whole time. Giggles ensued. While you might expect that such a gathering would attract the stereotypical marijuana enthusiasts, stoners, burnouts, hippies, and deadbeats in tie-dye, that couldn't have been further from the truth. Instead, the room hosted a crowd of Whole Foods shoppers and Equinox members, observed the co-founder of Lord Jones, a premium California brand of gourmet edible confections and infused skin lotions. These were curious, discerning consumers dedicated to a health-conscious lifestyle with money to spend. These were women who might have ended the day with a glass of Chardonnay, but craved an alternative, something that wouldn't leave them sluggish or add inches to their waistline. And they were more curious than ever now that pot was legal for medical purposes in 30 states, 9 of them allowing recreational use for adults over 21 years old. By the summer of 2018, 1 in 5 Americans lived in a state where she or he could legally purchase marijuana, most located up and down the West Coast and in a few pockets on the Eastern Seaboard, with more states in the middle of the country considering legalization than ever before. Yet federal drug laws on pot remain stuck in 1970, when the Nixon administration and Congress assigned the plant to the most dangerous designation of the Controlled Substances Act, Schedule I, kicking off decades of aggressive law enforcement that filled up prisons with minor pot offenders, disproportionately people of color. But with the rapid acceptance of medical marijuana over the last decade and the billions of dollars to be made from legal sale of the drug, activists and industry insiders optimistically predict that America's pot prohibition could fall away as soon as 2022, when either all 50 states will address it locally or Congress will act to reform federal drug laws. In the meantime, in towns and cities across the nation where weed is permitted and a lawful way to make a living, it's become a booming business that took in more than $12 billion in 2019 alone. This wasn't just a West Coast thing. Across the country, in a leafy waterside enclave just outside New York City, a room full of affluent middle-aged moms bubbled with queries, opinions, and personal stories about pot. It all started when one woman, an interior designer, confided that the roller coaster ride of mood swings she'd been experiencing, thanks to the stress of raising 3 teenage daughters and juggling a full-time job, was frustrating the heck out of her family. Another chimed in that she hadn't been sleeping much, but was nervous about trying Ambien. Someone else complained that PMS and back pain were driving her crazy every month. That's when their friend, a physician with a holistic approach, gingerly mentioned a potential remedy: tinctures made from CBD. There was a pause, followed by some sheepish grins, and suddenly the tastefully appointed den exploded with even more chatter than before. Everyone began to open up. They were all kinda curious. Why not? Marijuana was making headlines right in their own backyard. Cynthia Nixon, otherwise known as the ambitious attorney Miranda Hobbs on HBO's Sex and the City, the show that practically defined these women's 20s, was now running in the Democratic primary race for governor of New York on an unapologetically pro-pot platform. Legalizing marijuana for adult use, she argued, was a social imperative to address the injustices wrought on Black and brown New Yorkers arrested for low-level marijuana offenses at strikingly higher rates than whites were. This argument was so persuasive, or politically expedient, or both, that she successfully pressured her opponent in the primary, Governor Andrew Cuomo, to reverse his public stand against the drug. Racial justice wasn't the only hot-button social issue to enter the discussion. By June 2018, as the opioid crisis ravaged the nation, even the New York State Department of Health had endorsed marijuana as an alternative to highly addictive prescription painkillers, and its commissioner had publicly thrown his support behind expanding the legal market. With Cuomo's new about-face and health policymaker's stamp of approval, Albany observers speculated it was only a matter of time before the Empire State would follow the lead of Colorado and California, where pot was supplanting alcohol as the new legal feel-good indulgence of choice. In the months and years ahead, the governor, who went on to win a third term, and state lawmakers would find it wasn't so easy to come to a consensus on commercializing recreational cannabis, especially when it came to ensuring communities of color weren't left out of the potential fortunes to be made. In his 2020 State of the State address, the governor vowed once again to make adult-use marijuana a priority, as elected officials in surrounding states New Jersey, Connecticut, and Pennsylvania also considered how to tap into the industry. They had watched as Massachusetts, which opened up over 21 sales in November 2018, now had lines around the block at some of its new lawful pot shops made up of out-of-towners who drove a few hours over the border to buy newfangled pot products. The developments in progressive New York and up and down the East Coast coincided with a similar shift in some of Middle America's most conservative strongholds.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?